basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
Jesus, thank you for today, and nothing's wrong with Caleb. Lord Jesus, that whatever's happened technically, Lord, I still know how to open my Bible and read it and speak. So Lord Jesus, may we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than when we came here this morning. I believe that, Lord. Desire that each and every day of my life as I just study your word, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, and give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Romans chapter 13, we actually have to pick it up in chapter 12, verse 9. Because you need these verses so we can go into chapter 13. And remember, Paul didn't say, hey, this is chapter 12, this is chapter 13. This is a letter. And we happen to be breaking it down verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book as we go through the word together here. And so in context, we have to look at verse 9 so we can understand all the verses that are going to read all the way through chapter 14, verse 1. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, without hypocrisy, without envy, without jealousy. Abhor. In other words, hate that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And remember, not what we think good and evil is, but what God calls good and evil. He says, you call evil good and good evil, and your ways are not my way, say the Lord. And so, again, it's discerning what is. And if you look back at chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So diagnostically, when I ask people, when they're asking this philosophical question, what is the will of God for my life? My question is what are you not obeying him in? What are you being? He's making this clear. You can have his general will for your life, that maybe you just work on stop lying and cheating and stealing, and through the power of the Holy Ghost, be working on those things. But if you're in and immersed in the Word of God, as I was traveling the last couple of weeks with the young men and women, and it's a time for Kimberly and I just to spend time with them and model before them. 12 days in a van, you can't really fake relationships and what you're really like. You can only fake so long being with people if that's your goal. You will begin to crack. Things will happen. You begin to get irritated with one another, and now you got to work some things out. And so here, it's deciding and understanding what the perfect and pleasing will of God is. As I said last week, and I've shared with others, if every time I'm reading through the Word of God, as I study and prepare, I go through the Word of God at least. I try to read a passage at least 25 times. That was given to me years and years and years ago of studying the Word of God. It's just read through it. So I know at a minimum, I have read every verse in the Bible 25 times. At a minimum, because I've taught through the Bible. Now, if you times that times 7, I need somebody with math, because I've gone through the Bible 7 times with this congregation alone. Well, 6 times with this congregation alone. 7 times 25. What? 175. 100. So I've read through the Bible, or every verse of the Bible, 175 times. But I read a proverb a day. And I've been doing that for 43 years. That means I have read every verse, every proverb, 14,453 times. That's just stuff for 43 years I've read. Now, again, I read through the Bible, but I'm just saying if I only read through the Bible only when I'm going to go on through and teach it, then I know that I've read through the Bible a minimum of 175 times. It isn't like reading the dictionary once and therefore you've read every book that's ever been written. No, that's not that way. But again, so there's just things that just happen by having the Word of God immersed in just being in you. But here's the thing. You have to let it. In Colossians chapter 3, I want you to go read that on your own, but verses 15, 16, and 17 especially. In Colossians chapter 3, it talks about let the word of God dwell in you richly. And so I see this. I see there's a difference in my life. There's a way that I think now. And I'm still evil in my thoughts when I could be thinking of things, or sinful in the way that I might handle things in my heart and in my mind. And yet that's with someone who has read the Proverbs 14,453 times over the course of 43 years. That is somebody who's read through the Bible a minimum of 175 times. And yet I know the utter depravity of my heart and my mind. What do you think my life would be like if I hadn't been in the Word of God and the Word of God had been in me? And so again, I don't take this lightly when it says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, again, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed. And so in verse 9 of chapter 12, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, without hypocrisy, envy, and jealousy. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. You know, you might want to cross-reference that with Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, that we're also to have that mind of Christ and that attitude of Christ, who, again, being equal with God, did not consider equality with God something for us to even to be grasped, but yet he took on the very form of a servant, the nature of a man. And so I come before you just as a humble, broken sinner saved by God's grace, that I don't know what my life would be like. They used to print sermons, whatever, in the paper. They used to print sermons in the newspaper pre-World War, up until about World War II. And whatever newspaper was, they would take whatever their favorite passage was or their pastor, and they would again, transcribe and print his sermon. And someone wrote in a piece saying, I don't understand the reason why, we need to be seeing these sermons on Monday morning. You know, I've been reading this newspaper for 30 years, and I can't remember one sermon one from another. And so they put a contest out saying, well, should we print sermons anymore? From various pastors in the community. Should we print sermons? And because this guy's saying, in 30 years of reading this newspaper, I can't remember one sermon over another. Not one particular over another. But the definitive letter came in. It kind of ended the whole thing. They printed this one letter. And one man wrote in and says, you know, I have been married for 30 years. And in that time, my wife has fixed and prepared, and I have consumed 10,532 meals that she has prepared. I can't remember one particular. She has a few specialties, but I can't remember all 10,532 of those meals. But the thing that I can be assured of is if I hadn't eaten those 10,532 meals, I would not be alive today. End of the discussion. So I look at my own life, and that's the thing that I think about. That's just reading through the Proverbs of again, Proverbs 1, reading it this morning. What was the purpose that we see in the Proverbs? Is that you may receive instruction and knowledge, and by that you may grow in your relationship with the Lord. But verse 9 tells us, and Paul is writing to Christians there, that you have to let this happen in your life, and that we have to be kindly and affectionate one to another. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking to the world. He's telling this to believers. He's telling this to me. Verse 11, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Watching, sometimes I watch too much YouTube or whatever, the little shorts or whatever, short attention span, but watching someone posting a short of them, they actually posted themselves getting fired. And they posted themselves and says, I don't understand this. And they recorded HR doing a FaceTime call to them, and they recorded it, and HR says, well, listen, we've talked to you over and over again about you being late. And, you know, this keeps happening. He says, what do you mean being late? He says, well, on such and such date, since we've talked, you came in, you're supposed to be there at what time? Well, at 6 a.m. Well, you clocked in at 6:12. He goes, that's just 12 minutes. Well, then another time you clocked in at 6:32. Yeah, well, so that's like but I still showed up and I still did all my work. And then and they said, well, you don't understand. What if you're expected to show up on time and to be there. And if you're not, that puts the work on somebody else. Somebody else has to do your job and do your work until you get there. And then it says, but then we don't understand this one. You didn't even call on this day or that day, this day or time to even, you were a no-show, no call whatsoever. And they go, well, it was my birthday. I'm like, this has got to be a comedy piece. And then it says, well, we're just letting you know that you need to come and turn in your keys. We can't depend upon you and you're no longer employed here. And the person's posting on TikTok. I don't get this. And still they didn't get that they were at fault here. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, I don't understand, they still showed up to work, it might have been a little bit late or whatever like that, then there's a problem with your work ethic as well. It says here, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit and serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. And so this is the thing, whatever we're supposed to be doing, we're supposed to be doing it wholeheartedly unto the Lord, not slothful when it comes to that, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. There's times I have prayer times. I might be meeting with people to have a prayer time with one another. But this whole thing about being fervent and in constant in prayer, I'm in a continual conversation with the Lord, whatever I'm watching, whatever I'm listening to, when I'm driving, grew up with never having a radio in the car that really worked, or it might have been AM station or whatever. And so I've had cars over the years that just radios, or we don't have a sound system, whatever. So I've just gotten in the habit of just not listening to anything. And so as I'm driving, I'm just having a conversation with the Lord. I'm talking about things and about things I'm reading. I mean, I went to bed last night reading these passages and waking up in this morning and dreaming about these things and contemplating and looking at my own life and just realizing the same thing is that I can just say for you, I have all this knowledge, I have all this understanding, I have all this depth of understanding when it comes to God's word, yet I still don't think that I've even got the tip of it there. You know, because the thing that it just comes down to is like, it's the same fallacy with whether it be mental illness or some type of sickness or whatever, we think you're to go to the doctor and the doctor gives you something or prescribes something or does something, then you're supposed to be better. I mean, that's the fallacy with this whole thing called mental illness. They give you a pill, they give you this drug, and then it makes the problem actually worse because you think, hey, when I took penicillin or I took an antibiotic, you know, the symptoms went away and I got better. But there's no pill for the soul. There's no pill for that part of the heart. And there's no pill that when it comes to that, and the problem gets exacerbated even more when you're thinking, man, how messed up am I that I'm supposed to be taking this pill that's supposed to be making me better, but it's not. They can only practice medicine at best. And so then you think, well, man, how messed up should I be, or that I am, that this pill it normally fixes everybody else. I mean, that's what I saw in the commercial. That's what I saw what would happen there. Now, granted, I have diarrhea, leaking bladder, droopy eyes, snow, my nose fell off, psoriasis, and all those other things, but I'm not thinking about that thing I've been thinking about for a long time. Listen, it says, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, whether it be your self-induced tribulation, whether it be those who are perpetrating things upon you, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And so that's just a constantly a reevaluation of my life, is that when I typically don't have anything on the radio if I'm driving, or I might be listening to a teaching, whatever, but teaching something, just again speaking to my heart and just trying to feed that spirit. And so here, having that constant and instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, and given to hospitality. These are the things. Please don't misinterpret this verse and think you should give it to that drug addict or that scam person on the off ramp. You know, ask yourself, what is a grown man holding a sign up for saying, I need help. I have a, you know, wife and two kids here and homeless and all this kind of stuff. When, especially in the state of Minnesota where your tax dollars are going, when they're paying people to not, still in the state of Minnesota, there's people, if you have a fear of COVID, you can still be paid to stay at home if you can really prove that you have that. The state of Minnesota is still paying people. There's things here in the state of Minnesota that I never thought there would be a day when Flame Burger would not be 24 hours. When you can't get enough people to show up to work at Flame Burger, Charbroil Burger, great burger, but don't be thinking about lunch right now. That they like, what are your hours? Why are you guys closing? He goes, we just can't get anybody to work. And you're just like, well, okay, but I'm used to, you know, being at Flame Burger at 2 a.m. with some tweaker, you know, on meth, being my waitress or the cook there. It's so bad that the tweakers get enough money to stay at home and do meth and not go to work at Flame Burger. Sorry about dissing Flame Burger, but that's the people that I see at 2 a.m. there. And that I'm just, they can't even get those folks to come in. So please don't look at the person in the off-ramp there. Just what are able-bodied people doing, especially in the state of Minnesota, when there's all these jobs that can still be, you can be still gainfully employed. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing listening in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given a hospitality. There are people within our fellowship here who could use that dollar that you might, because you made eye contact with that person on the off-ramp with. Well, come here and put it in benevolence and we'll distribute it to those who are faithful, who are, again, we're working with financially to help them to be stable, to remain in the community here. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I would say rather than give somebody that dollar or that bag of food, and am I the only one that notices all the litter that's around those off-ramps and on-ramps and what's going on there? And literally, I would encourage you to spend some time and just park on the side of an off-ramp and see where that food goes or that stuff goes and that where they're going there. But if you really want to help them out, go preach Jesus to them. Go preach Jesus to them. And go talk to them about the Lord, and that's the real help that they need there. And then be willing to condescend of men of low estate. Be not wise in our own conceits. Recompense. In other words, pay back no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible. I'm thankful for this verse. If it be possible, as much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I desire that. I desire to live at peace with all men, but that's your decision if you decide to not live at peace with me. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Now we go into chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power of God, but there's no power but of God, the powers that be ordained of God. We have a problem here in the United States because we have a republic and we have a representative government, unlike any other country. In other words, we elect. I just want to break it down for you. 435 congressmen, people, him, they, she, we, whatever they want to call themselves, and 100 senators, two for every state. How many states are there? Not 52. That's a deck of cards. 50. And then we got some territories. So let's just think nationally. 535 people are telling you how to live, when it should be 350 million people tell the 535 people what we want as representation in the state there. If we think that 500, so it should be they are our employees. That's the deal that we have here in the United States, as opposed to any other country as our form of government. And that powers be of God. And so whoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. But what happens when our elected officials, our representatives, the people that think that they're in charge and giving us rights and privileges and freedoms, what if they are doing evil with our good works? What if our government, our form of government that we have here, and let's just look what's happening here. I can't tell you just how many texts I get and other pastors and friends of mine saying, wow, what a gem of a governor you have. I said, you're just hearing nationally some of the stuff, but it's much worse living in this state and knowing all these things. Everything that's happened with our governor, I've been saying from the pulpit here and telling you everything about this man's life, and this is the wrong guy to have, and he's really just a puppet. He's really not in control. And yet we see here now nationally what's coming out about him, and all these things have been known. But he is part of a criminal endeavor of the political party that this governor is a part of. And they have a well-defined, well-organized, well-oiled machine of putting people in power. They do the same thing when it comes to we're one of the few states that still has a primary. In other words, where you, whatever political party you have, you go and vote for your person that you want to represent you for that party. Well, the power that to be that's right now in the state of Minnesota, the way that party operates is they already have a farm system. They already know who they're going to put into office. They don't even need anyone in that political party to show up to vote because it's a pecking order. It's like you're not going to run against any of us. We decide who's going to be the candidates and who we put in power. Thus, in the primary system, what they do is they go to the other side. Because if you voted, you know that you can either only vote one party up and down that ticket for a primary. General election, you can vote whoever you want. But in the primary, it says who you want to represent it. What they do is they put a weak candidate up, a puppet candidate, so everyone from that party goes and gets that weak candidate who's just a puppet of that political party. So the one who would really represent a conservative or a good common sense worldview doesn't get elected or doesn't go through the primary and isn't that representative. They cheat. What did we see here with Congresswoman Ilhan Omar? She buys votes, does the ballot at harvesting, and someone who was running against her just did the same thing where they were paying for people's votes in the immigrant community. And then they found him guilty of doing this. He says, this is just the system. She does the same thing. And what happened was, last election, that person drove the price up for your ballot. They used to pay $25. Now they're having to pay over $100, sometimes $200 for that mail-in ballot or that ballot it harvested. And that was causing Ilhan Omar's campaign to get... Now, I'm not making any of this up. You can go to the various news agencies and see all this stuff. And they interviewed... And the guy openly said it, I'm just doing the same thing she's doing. That's the system that's set up here in Minneapolis and in this district. And he was open about it. He wasn't denying it. He says, I'm just doing the same thing. That's why I'm raising campaign funds, because I'm trying to negate all the votes that she's buying so that those who really do show up and vote, we might have a fair election. I'm just trying to negate her ballots that she's buying. But they found him guilty and he had to replace out of it. And then what did Ilhan Omar do this district? There she had 98% of the vote. What a miracle. She gets better than Saddam Hussein ever got. And so here's the thing that it comes down to. What happens when we live in a society when the government is doing evil, when they're supposed to be doing good for their people? You see, that's the problem that we have here in the United States. We have a representative. We do not have a democracy. Democracy means the rule of the people. We have a republic. It's a rule of the law. And when that's no longer obeyed, well, understand this, that there was a form of government and people rebelled against that form of government. And now we have the United States of America. And so, but if you look at the Declaration of Independence, might take you 15 to 21 minutes at best to read the Declaration of Independence. And they tried and they tried after much attempts and everything to get their grievances heard. They didn't want to break away. They didn't want to be the United States. They wanted to be the colonies. They were okay with King George to a point, but the grievances were so much that they believed that they were ordained of God. And that was just a small fraction of the population. Realize the American Revolution was only really fought by maybe 7 to 8% of the population at the time. And yet that's what it comes down to. And so here, it tells us here that we do need to be praying. If more of my time is praying about our governor and the attorney gangster general and instead of for them, I do pray for their salvation. But even if they got saved, well then, what God and what type of theology would they be following? You know, there's plenty of people who claim to be Christians, but they believe the church has replaced Israel. Do I want them in power? Who do I want? I just want someone to play by the rules that we've established here. And so when you look through this, when it comes to voting, you can go to our website and look at God and voting. And we've been endowed. This is called an endowment. The United States of America, if you look at the U.S. Constitution and you look at the Declaration of Independence, we've been endowed. In other words, endowment. We've been given this great gift and this stewardship. So don't say that your vote doesn't count and your participation. But understand this, there's 535 people in Washington, D.C. who's telling the rest of the nation how to live. And you might need to get involved when it comes to that. But yet, if there was plenty of people who believed in God's word at one time, there was, that's what who would truly be representing us. Think about what's going to be happening in this next year for those in the school district and the public school. For those of you having your children in public schools, do you understand next year it will be law that teachers to keep their teaching credential. The executive of this state, Governor Walz, went to the Department of Education for the state of Minnesota and had them rewrite the rules. And for a teacher to remain with their teaching credentials has to affirm gender-affirming identity. Has to affirm as well. Think about Tampon Timmy, as he's called. This is our governor who's mandated that female feminine products be put in the boys' bathroom starting out of the fourth grade on. This is the governor it's going out nationally. You have to affirm all that. You have to affirm. And if you don't, you don't get to keep your teaching credentials in the state of Minnesota. So just think about all those teachers who probably will sign it, and yet it'll be up to various different school districts how they implement it, but they'll have to do that. I'm letting you know, Christian, even the most lax, lackadaisical, weak-willed, spineless Christian who's just waiting out for the rapture or till you go to be with Jesus and you do absolutely nothing, it will be harder and harder for you to hide. It's just going to come to a point where this is just too egregious. That you like, I do have faith. I do have convictions. I do have a relationship with the Lord. And now it's come to this point. For me, I just get it done and out of the way. Why let them guess? But between me and you, we're all going to be bookended. It's all coming for all of us. And so verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works. But what happens when our nation and our country is a terror to those who are doing good works. For he is the minister, and understand the accountability that they have before God. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But what happens if that government elected, and again, we have a problem here in the United States of America, because we have an elected form of government. So elections do have consequences. He says, for he's a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute a wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So I'll let you know, it doesn't matter what the government says, for conscience sake, that's first and foremost. I like this verse. You see, if you look at Article 1, Section 16 of the Minnesota State Constitution. Listen, I've said this before, and if you haven't read it, and you're just dependent upon me, but Article 1, Section 16, or Section 16, Article 1, Section 16. The founding fathers of our state of Minnesota, which my great-great-grandfather was part of, he's established Stillwater, Minnesota, when they wanted to be part of the nation of the United States of America, no longer a territory, but a state, you had to have your own constitution, your own form of government that resembled. You needed to have an executive, a legislature, and a judicial branch, and you had to have a state constitution, and your constitution had to affirm that you agree in general with the United States Constitution. The founding fathers, and this was ratified again in 1974, this language has all stayed the same. They believed that the language in the U.S. Constitution was too vague when it came to, again, freedom of speech. And so they put, again, Article 1, Section 16 of the Minnesota State Constitution, that government can't come against a man's own conscience, for conscience sake. If you believe the moon's made out of cheese, and that's what you believe, the government cannot come against you and say otherwise, if that's your conscience. So in other words, look at the Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution. It's only going to take you 35, 40 minutes to read the rule book, by the way. That's the U.S. Constitution. It's only going to take you 5, 10 minutes at best to read the Bill of Rights and all the amendments there. But when you look at Article 1 and you look at of the U.S. Constitution and you look at Article 1, Section 16 of the Minnesota State Constitution, that language is tougher and stronger and more binding. Yet, how does our governor get away with all the things he's doing? Well, it's because I believe the pulpits are empty. They're not teaching the true word when it comes to the God. And I want you to understand, pre-1954, every pastor used to talk about candidates running for office and looking at their character and looking at their lives and what they were going to be a part of. And so here, the problem is that others have been fearful and saying you can't do that. The government will come and say that's illegal, the government. Well, I'm telling you for conscience sake, I'm going to tell you that I think Governor Walz is a horrible, horrible individual. And I believe he's controlled by Satan. Because he's mutilating children, he's made Minnesota a sanctuary state, he's done all these things. In other words, so when it comes to your voting and who you want to put in office, line it up with the Word of God and see who comes the closest to it. And I'm telling you, I'm not a perfect person and I'm not a perfect pastor. But I will share with you all my flaws and foibles and sin and how I get things right with the Lord. If you're looking for the perfect church and the perfect pastor, you should probably go somewhere else. But don't join that church because you're imperfect and you'll ruin it. So you might as well just stay here with all the other imperfect people as well. So you look at the candidates and just say, well, you know, aside from whatever happens on there, who's going to keep? I think King Cyrus was used of God to bring the children back after Nebuchadnezzar. I think Nebuchadnezzar was used of God. I think Alexander the Great was used of God. I think all these other people that this world has benefited from, and even though they might not profess a profession of faith, whatever, but God used them. So I understand the powers that be, but a little bit different for us here in the United States. We have a say. And so elections do have consequences. So I would just look at you as a Christian. Who's the closest that comes to your values? I did not like one political candidate a few elections ago because he wasn't for the abolition of all abortions. He says, well, if he's not for abolition of all abortions, I can't vote for him. I said, but the opponent is for abortions even after birth, which, oh, by the way, is now law in the state of Minnesota. Governor Walz passed that. If the child makes it out of an abortion, it's between the mother and the doctor if they, you know, what the mother decides after that. So it's no longer, you know, if you make it out of the womb, you're not even safe now in the state of Minnesota. That's the governor. Is that from God or is that from Satan? So I want the person who's going to be as closely as aligned to God's word, who will just maybe keep the rules. So you look at the rule book, the U.S. Constitution, and just find somebody, and you as a Christian, who are you going to vote for? We've been endowed with all this. But you must first and foremost pray. I would pray that there would be more judges who hold to the true word of God and to the state constitution, the U.S. Constitution. I would pray that more people would get saved, so there would be more people in that representative pool who really truly would represent us. I look at the Christians that I know in the state of Minnesota when it was passing, shall they sell alcohol on Sunday? We used to be a blue state. In other words, a blue laws. In other words, that's why you can't buy a car on Sundays. All right, there are certain things that were closed. And I listen to these Christians say, well, I don't see what's the big deal of it. You know, alcohol doesn't matter anything to me. I don't understand. Well, we might as well. And Christians voting for, okay, we should allow the businesses to open up because everyone's going to Wisconsin. And then you just start to see the fall of the money. And, well, I want somebody who's, again, but it's opened the door for all these other things as well. And understand this, when it came to Roe v. Wade back in 72, 73, and 74, it was not the quote-unquote Republican Party that was holding up the passage of Roe v. Wade. It was the Christians in the Democratic Party, the born-again, the Jimmy Carter types, the ones who, it was the Dixiecrats, as they call them. It was the Christians in that. Liberal as they were, they said, no, abortion is bad. But how this whole script has been flipped now. Who is the closest to my values and my morals when it comes to God's word? And so I look at those who will hold and be honest. But yet, what happens when this country, when this government that is supposed to be ordained of God, well, they're going to get theirs and their due. They're going to stand before God and give an account. And as much as it galls me, Governor Walz, who's done, I think, irreparable damage, him and the attorney gangster, Keith Ellison, to the state of Minnesota, if they become Christians, we will spend all eternity in heaven with them. That's just how it works, guys. All sin is sin in God's eyes. It's all judged the same way. It's all forgiven the same way. I have no personal connection to them, but I look at Bible trivia. Maybe you children's ministry teachers know this. Who's the most evil king in all of Israel's history? Took all the evil all the other kings did, put together, did not outdo this king. Manasseh. And that's because another king says, I want to live longer. And he had Manasseh. And at the end of Manasseh's life, he came to the Lord. But 50 plus years of just carnage. Maybe you don't get that. So let's just think of Star Wars and Kylo Ren. Okay? Destroyed all cousins. Wait a minute, Pastor Chick. You're going too close now. You've crossed the line. He did all that evil and all that things. And at the very last part of the last movie, he sort of has a get right meeting there. And it was like, oh, whole worlds were destroyed because of him. But yet, it's okay. At the very end, he got right with it. Okay, that's pales in comparison to the truth when it comes to Manasseh. So pray for our governor and attorney gangster. Pray for them because I think they're in the hands of Satan because of all this stuff, because all their policies and everything that they're doing is all about, is everything that I see is satanic. So again, it's a spiritual battle. So what happens? Well, remember back in chapter 12, be patient in tribulation, to not rejoice over the evil, but repay evil with good. But he's the minister. I had to. I didn't particularly care for this other president, President Obama. And I was a chaplain with the St. Paul Police Department at that time when he was coming through St. Paul and he was going to visit the St. Paul Police Department. And so I made sure that I wasn't there that day in the chaplain's office. They wanted everybody there, but everyone was kind of nervous with me being there. And so I told my command, I won't be here. And they're like, okay, we're not going to fight you on this. Because it would just be, what do you think the chances are that they would just stop by on my floor, stop by the chaplain's office, if he didn't burst in flames, and come in there and ask me any question? So, you know, I'm not going to be in a tempted situation there. And so I said, I'm just going to stay home. And sure enough, after he visited and came through the St. Paul Police Department, did all these things, it was sort of like, it's a good thing you weren't there. Because I would tell him, I think he's in control by the hand of the devil, by all his policies there. And I'm praying for him, praying for his salvation. That wouldn't go over well. And so here, they're supposed to be ministers of God. But they will get their due if they don't. But if they do repent at the last moment, like Manasseh, like the thief on the cross, like all those, we'll spend all eternity with them. But when we get to heaven, it's not going to bother us, will it? He tells us here, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause, pray ye, you pay ye tribute, in other words, your taxes. Also, they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Realize that when Claudius and another Augustus and another Caesar and Nero and others, at times when they would kick Jews and Christians out of Rome, it was particularly the pagan spies, especially, who would tell the Caesars that the Christians are actually praying for you. They're actually really good citizens. Don't punish them. You're overreacting here. So here in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And that's that whole thing when it just comes down to love. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's the same way that I raised my kids, the same way that Kimberly and I talked to one another. Was that out of love? Was that done for love? Was that done? What was the motivation behind that? What was going to be the end result of that? And so here, he tells us here that, again, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's what we're to be governed by. No guy could ever tell me I cheated on my wife because I loved her. No one says I committed murder because I loved that person. I did all this because of love. No, it's all of self. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's closer now, man. Again, having the Word of God, letting the love of God rule in your heart, letting the Word of God permeate your whole being and your whole thinking, that you'll be able to appease or know what the pleasing will of God is. It's the same thing over and over again that we've heard, and it is true. They don't teach how to spot a counterfeit when it comes to working with money. They just put you with so much of the real stuff that when the fake stuff comes through, you can actually feel it. I've actually talked to people who worked in banks and bank tellers and stuff, and they go, yeah, you can do it so much. You can tell when something just doesn't feel right. And so when we have so much truth in us, we'll be able to detect a lie, the deception that's going on there. It says here, is that coming out of love? And knowing that the time is now, is high time. Listen, whether you believe in one party or the other, who's the closest that's going to be, that, again, for us here in the representative form of government that we have in the Republic, who's the closest? Do you know the Word of God? And I would tell you, don't say that your vote doesn't matter because we'll all stand accountable before the Lord of what we've been entrusted with, and it does matter what we do here and now. And so here, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing that the time is now, is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. can digress and go into Ephesians chapter 6 when it comes to this about the armor of God and the armor of light. But I'm telling you, as I finish up here, someone who's read through the Proverbs 14,453 times, a minimum of 175 times reading through the Bible. If all I did was just, again, read each verse 25 times before I attempt to teach it. It tells us here that, therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The theater of the mind, the things that still happen in my heart, the sinful knowledge that I have. And realize I came to the Lord at age 19. So I've been a believer longer than I've been a non-believer. But yet that sin is still right there. I'm still Romans chapter 7. The things I know I should do, I don't do. And the things I shouldn't do, I know that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of sin? Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ, who's rescued us, who's took my place as we, hopefully, if you've sang those songs and you looked at those words, he took my place. And he's paid that price for me. That's why I can stand before you as imperfect, and I'm trying to be as close as I can to being spot on when it comes to the Word of God in my life and in my family and my whole behavior and character. And I would pray that that's why, you know, it isn't that you're coming to the perfect church, but I'm the closest pastor that you've got who really wants to do this. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. 14,453 times reading through the Proverbs, 175 times reading through the Bible of, again, minimum in my life in 43 years. And yet I know the other depravity of my own heart. Jeremiah 17:9. For the heart is wicked and deceitful, and who can know that but the Lord? But I can tell you, thanks be to Christ Jesus, that Romans 8:1, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who are called according to his purposes. But ye put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Not giving room for it. Because why? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us not to be conformed to the things of this world. We'll end with verse 1 of chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive him, but not be doubtful in disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another is weak, and he eateth herbs. So if you're vegetarian, you're weak. Maybe I can get that out of that verse. But what are we supposed to do here? Him that is weak in the faith? Listen, as much as I've read through the Bible, I still consider myself weak in the faith. And I would ask people to pray for me and to continue to lift this up, and so that I could be not the perfect pastor, but that I am closer to the Lord and my relationship with the Lord, and closer to wanting to live and be and do all these things. And that's why you keep coming here. And that I thank you for your trust, and I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your grace. But make no mistake, I still wrestle with the theater of the mind, the things that I've done, and ambition and drives and all these things. And yet, I know that it's God's grace and his love and his mercy that's forgiven me. So I pray that you just continue on this journey with me. You guys, why don't you come on forward? And until we start meeting on Thursdays, starting October 3rd, we have first Sunday of the month, we'll take communion together. So they pass that out. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. And that God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives and what you continue to do in our lives. I just ask you to be that Lord and lift it up, that we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than we came here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.